heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, you see a lot of the Democrats now are running around asking why Republicans don't drop the fraudulent, stolen election narrative and simply do the honorable thing. And that is accept Joe Biden as president. And you're hearing that a lot now. Like, you know, let's move on. Let's get over it. Just get over it. Move on. Also, there's the point of the peaceful transfer of power as well. There's a lot about that. And of course, that narrative was started some time ago. Again, like everything the left does brilliantly, is they plant seeds. And those seeds, they plant enough of them that eventually they sprout up and you have something, a narrative they push out there with their partners in the media and the tech partners as well, right? And so this peaceful transfer of power, you started seeing that some time ago. In fact, quite frankly, that was back several years ago when they started saying, oh, this president is a dictator, Trump, he'll never let power go. And, you know, we just won't have a peaceful transfer of power with him. And they were thinking, of course, at that point, probably he'd be reelected because everything was going pretty well, which is what panicked them and created a lot of the things we're dealing with right now. But there was a lot about that peaceful transfer of power that was why the right, what they're saying now is that they're not embracing this American tradition of transferring power. This whole notion about it is more than rich people about, you know, just it's time to drop it. And it's all the Democrat operatives, even the ones, you know, all the pundits, the media people, they're all lock in step with that. It's time to move on and just drop that narrative. You're beating it to death here. I mean, we all know that the Democrats invented the game on this. I mean, they beat the whole Russian collusion interference sort of thing into the ground for what, over a couple of years with Mueller, that whole thing. And of course, they all knew the people who started that forest fire were sitting in the back laughing like hell. They knew they started all. They knew it was a bunch of rubbish. Can you imagine the people who seen all this thing played out, how they could keep a straight face? You know, and I'm sure they had troubles with that in public for certain. Until they went around the corner or went underground, and then they laughed like hell, I'm sure, knowing that the whole thing from the dossier initially and Christopher Steele, and the whole thing was a complete setup, Comey releasing it out there to the public and, you know, creating this whole forest fire for Robert Mueller, and which created all kinds of scandals and problems that Trump had to deal with. Remarkable, just absolutely remarkable, you know. And so now how rich it all is that they want this to stop, and yet they never stop the drumbeat of attacking Donald Trump. But now they want it to be cut short and they want to move forward with the Biden presidency in spite of what is very clear here, all the fraud, and that people continue to run around saying there's no case of fraud here. It never happened. And you just have to, it's remarkable. You have to shake your head. So this is kind of where we stand right now. There are some frightening things happening in our nation right at this moment that are truly, truly frightening. I can't say I thought I would ever see something. And what happens is you have to begin to pinch yourself again to realize this is truly all happening because it's so far out there. It's remarkable. I mean, including the rally on the 6th. And now you're seeing more and more evidence come out that, oh, okay, this was indeed planned well in advance, a staged event, clearly. I mean, you're seeing even outlets like CNN are reporting. There are reports on there, which you know when it starts ruffling out there in feathers like that, there's got to be some fire to that smoke because there's a lot of smoke. And you're seeing, you know, a lot of the arrest. And it's also, as I was saying the other day, unbelievable that they're going to every length right now because it was the Capitol to do face recognition and hunt every one of these people down and lock them up. And it even gets more dicey than that. I'll share with you later on with Schumer coming out saying he wants to put them all on no-fly list and everything else. It just blows my mind. I mean, that this, when we went through what? Better than a year of all of our cities burning and torched and really creepy stuff going on, you know, and just breaking stuff everywhere, fires, stealing shit everywhere. I mean, and like I said, in districts like the Miracle Mile and Soho District and very upscale, just going in and ransacking the places right at the height of a, you know, pandemic COVID where you locked everything down before and after and people couldn't afford anything. I mean, they were just trying to hang on to what they had and try to get to the, and then you had all this going on in the left. It was all okay. It was no problems. It was, you know, let the boys be boys. Let the men be men. They'll get through it. I mean, it's okay. They're just, you know, the inequality. They're fighting for the inequality. And it's perfectly acceptable that we just burn everything down and loot everything and destroy businesses. And it is just, and you know, and you never heard any arrests. You never heard any facial recognition. You never heard any of this stuff. We're going to go to the Integrity to find these losers and lock them up. Never heard any of that, did you? But now when it comes to on their turf, the Capitol, it's a major catastrophe for these people, right? That the we, the people up there struck out. And, you know, and again, I know it gets dicey there as well. We said, what are you condoning violence? Listen, I don't condone any of this crap, okay? I mean, but, you know, they're pushing so much that people are reacting. And now I'm seeing, by the way, news stories in the last many days that a lot of conservative Republicans are going underground. I don't know if you've been seeing that or not. We know what that means, but what does it really mean, right? And who exactly are they? But there's so much censoring at the top here, and there's so much happening. It's over. I mean, it's way out there. I mean, and they're not just censoring, but they're deplatforming everybody. I mean, they're pushing them off where they don't have a voice anymore and they can't do anything about it. And the worst part about it is the Democrats and the media, and they sit there and they don't do anything about it. And you know full well, if this was done to the left, you'd see all of the media screaming their heads off. If the right had figured it out early enough and bought some of the media outlets up and the social media outlets up, you know, of course they didn't. But you'd hear the scream. I mean, it would be, wow. You just know they'd blow the whole roof off of this thing, and it would be the most egregious thing that ever happened. And they don't speak up anything right now, not a word, because it's playing to their narrative of changing the whole thing. And, you know, the other thing that was really brilliant, I don't want to lose sight of with you, is this whole rally sixth insurrection. They have a, you know, whatever you want to call it, that happened, the riots that were out of hand in the Capitol. Totally, as we talked about last week, very much staged and planned. And there are a lot of people you can point fingers at there on the left and the right that did that, by the way. I'm not suggesting it's only one group of people. I don't play that game, you know. You have people from all sides that were involved in that. People felt voiceless, clearly, and they felt they weren't getting anywhere. But see how much, I don't want you to lose sight of this point either. You see how much, how effective this is to change the narrative. One of the things that I find entirely, again, they're very, very clever the way they play this stuff out there. And the way Pelosi completely right away changed and moved, there's like a, you know, right away immediately onto this, well, the impeachment or the 25th Amendment. And then all the media got in lockstep with all of that, and all the social media got in lockstep with all of that. And there was no more, and it was so perfect because there was no more to be said about the election. It was, in other words, the conversation was no longer about any fraud, the election, taking a look at, again, their constitutional duties to look at the state electors and make sure it's all official and that it was a legit election, even in these Republican state legislators, which were most of the swing states, by the way. Even though they had, you know, Democrat governors and mayors and things of that nature, They were state legislatures, majority of them, all but about one, I think, of the swing states were Republican. And still nothing, just a giant sucking sound, you know? And they couldn't get that narrative changed fast enough so that it was no longer about what happened in the election or Biden. In other words, it became built into the cake already, was conclusive that, well, it was a president-elect, Joe Biden, and that's it. Election's done. Move on. We you know, so remarkable. Now, here's what I want to talk about today here that is even more remarkable, and I really got to give kudos. I mean, big, big, wow. Big thank you to Peter Navarro. Peter Navarro, I mean, he single-handedly, well, I'm sure he's got a team, but you know what I mean, from a public persona, has really put the focus back on the evidence in very unique ways that you just don't see out there. In other words, there are a lot of pieces of information out there. And part of the problem is there was so much of it. People were running around with their hair on fire and trying to, you know, which really got confusion because, as I was sharing with you last week, then you had Giuliani saying, oh, you know, it's going to be a shock to the country right after Christmas. And it's going to be a shock. I'm telling you, you've never seen anything like this in your life. And then, of course, the problem I say I wish the president had been a little smoother on. It's the one thing I wish he had done differently on the rally at the 6th when he said, we'll never concede. You see, that's where they sort of took that out of context when he said that. And you got to be careful with your words because they have meanings. He said patriotic and peacefully. I beat that to hell. You know where I'm at on that. I mean, he never said to do on the 6th what they did. That's a fact. But there are some people, their screws don't touch all the way or they're not tight enough, you know. And some of these people would take a statement like that when the president says, whoever the president is, you know, don't concede, what that means. Well, then we'll ransack the Capitol. Potentially they connected that with that. I wish the president would not have said that unless he really meant it, that he wasn't going to concede, and then show us what the evidence really means, please. Put again, get your cameras, mic. Let's have a national press conference to the lights of something we've never seen before and keep it black and white. Do a whiteboard or do whatever you got to do. I mean, I don't know, jump up and down with your hair on fire if you got to, but just show us all so that the left and the rest of them can't, you know, rebuke this stuff and say, well, you know, there's no evidence, you know, or you're wrong. I mean, where is it? We know what they're telling us. It's black and white. Where is it? Well, that's what Peter Navarro has done, by the way, which I think is remarkable. The work that I really am a fan of this guy. Okay. And I'll tell you why here, but to remind you again, he's specifically an assistant to the president, but his real official title is the director of trade and manufacturing policy, as you know. And he was quite involved in all the trade deals and all of that. But I want to spend some time right now with you. I want to dive into a little bit more. Now, this is important stuff here because you probably didn't know some of this or a lot of this and may not know any of it. I don't know. But all right. So you heard about the first report, the Immaculate Deception, right? The Immaculate Deception. That was volume one. What is really interesting right now that's just happened, which again, totally overshadowed because nobody wants to talk about any of this, but I think this is earth shattering, I think the word is they say, right? And that is that, that he titled this report. Now this kind of tightens the screws up a little bit here. President Trump won the case, evidence, and statistical receipts, volume 3 of the Navarro report. Very good. Well, I really dived into that over the last couple of days to see what he's up to. And I want to give you a little background on this first, and then let me give you a couple of aha moments and your mouth will drop on the floor here again, I think, because he puts it out there in ways that I he's speaking my language here. And I hope he's speaking your language too. And there's a point to all this, back to not beating the drum. Well, yeah, when it comes to fair elections and our representative government here, we need to beat the drum as long as it takes. As we've said before, if it doesn't happen now, and Peter points that out in the report, actually, with the peaceful transfer of power, we should never give up finding what this truth is, ever, ever. So volume one, let me give you a couple of tidbits here. Volume one was called The Immaculate Deception, again, of this Navarro report. That assessed the fairness and integrity of this presidential election. And if you remember or not, we talked about this on this program for sure, and probably Viewpoint as well. But he identified and assessed six key dimensions of these election irregularities. That's what he did in the six battleground states: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Those are the ones. And he drilled that all down in a very interesting way. And what he did, it took all the evidence. And see, he brought it all together under one roof rather than leaving it in all these pieces, which was terrific that he did this. And so it was like combining like 50 lawsuits and judicial rulings, thousands upon thousands of affidavits and declarations were part of this, testimonies, the various state venues, think tanks, the analyses from the think tanks and legal centers. It was part of looking at all the videos and photos, comments, and all of the press coverage. So all of this kind of went into this immaculate deception, this Navarro report. And then there was a number two, which there was really no publicity on, which was called The Art of the Steal. And this examined the institutional genesis of the six types of election irregularities. And one of the key findings that came out of this was the Democrat Party's efforts to strategically game the election process across these six battleground states I just mentioned to you. And years before, in other words, this process was started years before, because they knew that they had to be able to have a shot at getting this. These people are always looking ahead strategically on how to screw the system, basically, you know? And in many cases, this right with Trump in 2016, certainly since then, and they realized he'd won the election, then they really got busy with the swing states. Because remember, Trump surprised them. Remember the miles to gas the election night? And because they thought for sure they had it all figured out with Hillary Clinton, and it didn't go that way. Right? Now, the second key finding of this whole thing, and this is kind of interesting as well, is this the how they gamed the whole process, okay? And Navarro says he used a two-pronged approach to this. It was the stuff the ballot box. This was the grand strategy, he calls it now, okay? Stuff the ballot box. And this was designed to flood the six battleground states with enough of these illegal absentee and mail-in. Remember the mail-in, which the president kept talking about, it's going to be a problem. Well, to say the least, he was 1,000,000% spot on. He started talking about that, well, early in the year, that because he's seen how they were ramping it all up. I mean, he's not an idiot. He knew what was taking place, and he rang the alarm multiple times in multiple speeches and conversations, but nobody was really listening, or a lot of people weren't. And certainly the left was giggling at the whole process. The ones who were doing this and ripping the system off were having a field day with it, I am certain, you know. But this was taken in the illegal absentee and the mail-in ballots. And so what they did, they stuffed the ballot box, Navarro says, with the combination of, again, in the six battleground states, you take enough of the unscrutinized and potentially illegal absentee and mail-in ballots, he says, to turn a decisive Trump victory into a narrow alleged Biden win. Interesting. Now, there's a couple of things I want to tell you about in volume three here that is interesting. But this whole strategy they did there, Navarro points out, the Democrats now strategy was to dramatically increase the amount of absentee mail-in ballots. And that was prong one. And two, he says, was to dramatically decrease the level of scrutiny of such ballots. And that resulted in a flood of potentially illegal ballots into the battleground states to do what they needed to do. Now, think about how brilliant that is in the guise of COVID. You probably couldn't have pulled this off. I'm sure they couldn't have done part of it. They would have done part of it and gave it a hell of a try for sure. But it really set the playing field up amazingly well for them to pull this off with COVID. Everything was just COVID was. It did so much, it screwed us over so badly in so many ways. So many days to Sunday or something. But it really, COVID was a gift. such a gift to Marxists and communists. It came from communists, and it's a gift to communists, you know, and really and truly, I mean, it is beyond the economic demise and what's happened to so many amazing people in our country, which saddens me so much. But looking at everything that COVID has done, how it's wreaked havoc and the deaths and the accountability of this thing, the way it has struggled and suffered and put everybody, it just tormented lives. And then how it was used to steal an election here made it easy. It's an umbrella. They were able to, you know, hide a lot of things and, you know, quickly get their states to change the rules of engagement because, well, COVID, you know, we got to protect people. Can't have them at the, can't have them, you know, there at the ballot box, you know, they can't go vote. So we got to make this easy. That's when they relax all the rules and change things illegally, by the way, this was done. It totally illegally, but done nonetheless. You know, the old saying is, as I recall, you know, like, do what you got to do, even if you're breaking rules and laws and stuff like that, that what? It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. Isn't that what they say? Well, they didn't ask for permission. And they sure the hell ain't asking for forgiveness either, are they now? But they did it just the same. But that's what that reminds me of, that old wise tale, you know, ask for, just do it. And we'll just suffer the consequences. We'll just ask for forgiveness instead of permission. Well, in this case here, they didn't do either. But certainly that plays to this whole narrative here. So volume 3 is just out of this Navarro report. Okay. Now I told you the title. And it's this kind of, he says it's designed to serve as a capstone to what has been a comprehensive analysis of the question. And he says the question he puts up front here was the 2020 presidential election stolen from Donald J. Trump. He said, in this report, we provide the most up-to-date statistical receipts with respect to the potential number of illegal votes in each battleground state. Now, again, this is very impressive, I'm telling you. I'm going to make this report. I want to get some links to it available and get it out there. But, you know, I think everybody should read this thing. And to me, it's a real aha moment. Now, again, Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Okay, so you got six of these basic swing states here. Now follow me on this, because the numbers are unbelievable. You look at the numbers here. Let me give you an example. Let's look at the numbers first. So when you say, well, what kind of a disparity are we talking about now? Malcolm, are we talking about a razor-thin margin here or something? No, we're not. Taking the first state, Arizona. So these go alphabetical, okay? So Arizona we'll start with. So now Navarro has a whole timetable in there and a whole table here, plenty of them actually. He breaks it down with all the numbers. This is really well done. And in Arizona, the potential illegal votes, and he has them all broken down, and I'll share some of those categories with you in a minute, but just follow me on this now. The potential illegal votes in Arizona, we're talking 250,000 potential illegal votes, 254,722 he's got here, okay? And how much did potentially Biden win the victory of margin there in Arizona, you ask? About 10,400. So did those numbers register with you? Specifically, the margin difference there in Arizona, 10,457 as of this report. And the potential illegal votes here, 254,000 that were taken from Trump and given to Biden. Now, you see the numbers there, right? I mean, that's significant. I mean, that means Trump would have won Arizona if this is all. And we'll get into what they are in a moment. Just follow me here. The next one is Georgia. Keeping these in alphabet order, okay? Okay, so the potential illegal votes here in this contest in Georgia, how about 601,000, more than 500,000 people? 601,130. And then we have that Raffensperger and Kemp, which were doofuses that wouldn't help us out to get to the truth, right? I mean, they could have done a lot of things, even though they said they couldn't. It was a lot of rubbish there. And the Biden victory margin in Georgia, only a measly 11,000. 11,000. And the potential legal vote, 601,000. That's crazy time, people. Crazy, crazy. Michigan, right? 446, 1,803 potential illegal votes in the state of Michigan. I mean, this is serious stuff here. This isn't a handful, as people have suggested, or there is no fraud. Come on. And the difference in the state of Michigan, that the Biden victory margin, 154,000. That's the most right there of all the swing states, is 154,000. The others are razor thin, but that was 154,000, supposedly this. And of course, there's 446,000 potential illegal votes. Still plenty to change Michigan and turn that over. The next one is Nevada. Okay, so let's look at that. That's potential legal votes. There are 220,000. Okay, 220,000. And the Biden victory margin, there was just 33,000. So that one clearly would be turned over as well. They all would be turned over. They'd all been Trump victories all the way across the board. Pennsylvania, this one's almost a million now. This was significant. This is why they pushed hard in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania and Georgia were a real screw-in, basically. That's why they kept pushing those states, because they knew it, even more than Michigan and Wisconsin. All the states were questionable, but these two were huge. So almost a million, 992,400, okay, is the potential illegal votes in the state of Pennsylvania, all right? The Biden victory margin there, 81,660. So just look at the math. I mean, clearly they would have won Pennsylvania if this was all properly looked at or contested. And Wisconsin, the final states, by the way, 553,800, potential illegal votes, okay, in the state of Wisconsin. And the margin of victory there for Biden, 20,000. So you look at this here, and again, now it's crazy time here, the way he's got this all listed out, these irregularities here. Now, here's the breakdown to educate all of us fully. Navarro's report is, like I said, very comprehensive. And he's looking at all the analyses and the data and all the information out there, very thorough. I think it's one of the most impressive. There are others out there. But I think this actually, to me, is the most impressive. The work Navarro has done and his team of people he's put this together with is incredible and should be a roadmap and a guide to get to the truth, no matter what happens on the 20th with the inauguration. And we'll talk more about that in moments here, okay? Some of the things we're talking about here, people, let me give you a couple of examples here, okay? Of the categories now of potential fraud I'm talking about now, okay? Categories within the numbers I just stated to you. So you've got absentee ballots cast without statutorily required application. That affected Wisconsin, quite a few there, actually. And he's got every state listed here and how many in each state were in each category. Another category, absentee ballots cast that arrived after Election Day. There were 10,000 of those in Pennsylvania. That wasn't a big deal, but there was still, it's against the law, and he points that out. Absentee ballots cast that were requested before and after statutory deadline. That's Georgia, 305,000. There's quite a few, actually, in Georgia. That's half of the potential illegal votes in Georgia were that category right there, see? Another one is absentee ballots cast from addresses other than where voters legally reside, which you can't do. And that affected Arizona, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Now, he's got it. I really like it because he's got it broken down, which states it impacted, which states it didn't impact. So you got to look at this yourself and see. And absentee ballots cast that were returned on or before the postmark date. That impacted specifically Arizona and Pennsylvania, 20 and 50,000 respectively. Absentee ballots cast without a postmark. That was 9,000 in Pennsylvania. And again, this is only the information they know. I'm sure there's a lot they don't know. Can you imagine that? This is the stuff they were able to document. You see what I mean? You know how much they couldn't document for various reasons? Right. So that just tells you how wicked this whole thing is, okay? Dead voters. Now, this impacted the states of Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. This is just dead voters. And in Georgia, we're talking 10,300 dead voters. Now, follow me, 10,300 dead voters, people. That means, like, you can't, those, you got to throw away. And the margin of victory in Georgia is only 11,000. Are you with me here? And that just tells you right there. And there's four states that had dead voters. And that's only the four we know, but there are dead voters in every state, all 50 states, because our, it's the systems we have in America. The election systems are horrendous. If I said to you, we need election reform, well, that would be an understatement, correct? I've been saying this for months now, and certainly since this election, it is sick and sadistic what we got here for an election system. We are not the light of liberty with what we're using for an election system. We're the laughing stock of the world, and rightfully so, frankly. The way they have mishandled and abused our election system in all counts, and this has been happening over many election seasons, people, it's ridiculous. In other words, they've been building up toward this moment, is what I would suggest to you. Absolutely been building up toward this moment. But this is a voting system that is, it's in the graveyard. It is a crap election system and is filled with fraud. And basically our politicians, and specifically the left, have used it to seize the power. And not just in this election. It's been used, as I just stated to you, in other elections and even more elections than we know of. Double voters. I mean, there's a whole bunch of double voters. I mean, that impacted Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. Nevada has 42,000 double voters. Just look at this, 42,000 double voters in the state. 42,000. And the Biden victory margin in that state, 33,000. I know you scratch your head and you shake your head and said, well, what the hell's the problem, Malcolm? Why is it? Well, this is what I don't understand. I'm befuddled as you are. Why Giuliani and the powers to be, or whoever the attorneys and President Trump, couldn't get the, that major press conference of black and white that I keep begging for, or the fireside chat, or the national press conference, or hang from the chandelier moment, whatever it is, just get us. I mean, you don't need to make stuff up. You don't need to be making shit up when things are as clear as day as they are right here. We don't need to play games. There shouldn't be any games here. Just bring it out to the light of day. It's all I ever asked for, the truth. I mean, if Biden won fair and square, I'll embrace it and move forward. And we'll do better the next time. It's the way it is. It's where our country, I'm okay with that. I hope you're okay with that. And we may not like it. But listen, I don't like a lot of things that happen. That doesn't mean I get my own way, and nor do you get your own way. I mean, we have to work together as we the people. If it's legit, it's legit. If that's what the people did, then you know what? We'll suck it up. Big boys and big girls. And we'll come back to fight another day legitimately. Now, that's an American trait. That's a beautiful America. That's what we do here. That's why we have the peaceful transfer of power, right? But if you're stealing an election, no, that's not going to fly. Now it's time for some sort of a confrontation. That's the point here that I've been trying to get across in past days, and still be a gentleman so you don't think I'm, trying to incite X, Y, or Z. And of course, everybody's calling you out today. I mean, I'm getting more hate stuff in here and stupid talk from people that have no clue of what time of day it is, let alone who won the election, Anyways, finish those categories off. There's felon voters, ghost voters, illegal ballot harvesting. That mostly impacted the state of Wisconsin only. Juvenile voters under 18. Get a load of this now. Georgia, 66,000 that were under 18, illegal, couldn't vote. Again, the margin of victory in Georgia, 11,000. This is why Georgia is stupid. It is ridiculous what has happened in Georgia. It's crazy here. Now you see these numbers, and this is why this is a real eye-opener, people. Mail-in ballots cast by voters registered after the registration deadline. That's 150,000, and that's in the state of Arizona. And those were wrong. And again, margin victory in Arizona was only 10,000. You see how bad this is now? I mean, it's pretty clear to you what's going on here. There's non-citizen voters, there's non-registered voters, there's out-of-state voters, there's over-voters. I mean, 202,000 over-voters in the state of Pennsylvania. And again, 81,000 is the margin of victory there, you see. So, you know, signature match and errors. God, look at that. 130,000 in Nevada. Oh, that's insane. They can't match those signatures. 130,000 were counted in there. And again, it's only 33,000 is the difference of victory here. Voters over 100 years old. Oh, that's an interesting category, I guess, yeah. Voters who vote in the wrong county. Well, that's just one area. That's at the end. That was Georgia, 40,000. Georgia's a joke. But you look at those numbers anyways, and you see what I just shared with you. My friends, this is really so wrong, so bad. So the questions now become, okay, so now that we know all this, Malcolm, and you're, you know, doing this, so what does that really all mean? Well, it means that we should seek out the truth, no matter how long it takes people. And what does that mean? Well, then, you know, the truth of the matter is we're in uncharted waters. Sure, it would be unprecedented, but that means you need to reverse the levers of power and you need to fix it. And that's why we should never stop getting to the truth. Just like they never stopped for Russia or they never stopped trying to pin Trump to the wall. We should never, America, Americans, this nation should never stop before we get the God's honest truth of what happened with this election in 20. Never should we stop till our last breath and get this answer. And if we use Navarro's report as sort of a guideline, we get somewhere. And then, you know, we need, this is where, and this is really a better way for us to put the effort in as we the people than to be taking out, you know, violence in the Capitol and stuff like that. This is a more constructive, this, now let me talk here. This is what we really should be doing. This is the better way. This is the more American way to do it, you see? Now, if all else fails, listen, you know where I'm at on this. If all else fails and the it hits the fan, then you know what? Take your pitchfork and your guns out and let's talk. And it's America, people. That's what it's there for. It's a tyrannical government. That's what the Second Amendment's all about. That's why people are saying, well, is that what's happening at the Capitol? That's what's happening everywhere. 50 state capitals and, you know, 20. Well, you know, it's not about inciting anything. It's about respecting our Constitution and the rule of law. It's our birthright, our First Amendment, our Second Amendment. They're trying to strip us from it right now, these bastards. Does this make sense to you? I'm being a gentleman. Don't people get mad or say, well, I'm not being anything but a gentleman. But we're not going to take it lying down. I mean, this is what this country is based on. And that's where we've had these moments in our history before, where we've had those sparks and something happened. You know, that you know what hits the wall and bang, boom, something's there. I don't know. But again, this is the right way to do it. What I'm talking about today with the Navarro report, I am a fan of Peter Navarro. I mean, did I tell you I'm a fan? I'm a fan. The work that this was done, these three level reports and what's came out of it. Now, there's a big conclusion on this, and there's a whole lot more. But listen, we got to put up the fight here. We've got to, there's a lot at risk. It is our First Amendment. The most two important amendments right now, and we could argue and debate that, but the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, it's the reason they're the first and the second. And they're both under attack right now. They're both under attack at this very moment. The entire structure of our nation is under attack, people. That's why I'm edgy. I suspect that's probably why you're edgy too. Well, let me mention to you as well why we're edgy, and we got to stay healthy as well. And you know, sometimes we're not focused on ourselves, and I'm guilty as well. Like today, before I broadcast with you, I took a long walk. Walked actually almost 6 miles today. I guess I had a little steam to blow off. I had to get out and a chill in the air. Sure, a little chill in the air. But I don't dress. I keep just a little shirt on, thin t-shirt. So I want to feel the cold. Yeah, it's nice to wake us up, right? Wake ourselves up. So it was a beautiful walk today to just get out and enjoy this beautiful earth we're on, this planet and the environment out there, and breathe all of that climate change in that I so love and enjoy. It just fills my lungs with just beautiful stuff. I'm being sarcastic, of course. I'm not a believer in any of that, am I now? Anyways, we have much to be thankful for and blessed for. But one of the things I want to share with you now that I've told you about in past times, and you hear the ad spots play on our network, is Healthy Cell. And so a healthy cell is different than a multivitamin. It is a way of life, actually. And you can take this pill form, but it's everything's in this thing. I mean, it's like a nuclear recipe for your body in very unique ways. So it's not multivitamin. It replaces your multivitamins, basically. This is what I would say, my words now. But they have the pill form. They have a liquid gel as well, which is new and exciting. It came out some months ago, but pretty new. They have a whole host of products here. It's a fabulous company. I really like Healthy Cell. I want to invite you to take a look at this company, this remarkable company. It's doing some terrific work. There's an ad on AmericaOutloud.com, or just go to HealthyCell.com/OutLoud, okay? And if you use the code OUTLOUD, you get 20% off your first order there, okay? All right, 20% off your first order. You'll see my picture come up and a little thing. If you go to HealthyCell.com/OUTLOUD or click the banner at America Out Loud, you'll get that banner to come up and you get 20% off, or just use OUTLOUD as the code when you go to check out and you get the 20% off, okay? Enjoy the discount. Stay healthy so we can get through this fight together here. And we're going to pause right now. Be back with more Voice of the Nation in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference. My fellow Americans, our mission here at AmericaOutloud.com is clear. We're here to defend our founding values and principles at a moment when they are under unprecedented assault. And to cover the news objectively and offer intelligent commentary on the challenges we face as a nation. You can tune in and join our family of listeners 24/7 in this vital crusade. Our apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa. Find us on iHeartRadio or our world-class media player. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
The silent majority has spoken. We say, let the silent voices be heard. You can be the voice of change. Contact our producer at liberty@AmericaOutloud.com. liberty@AmericaOutloud.com.
So I've been telling you about the Peter Navarro and the work that he's done here with this incredible report and this new report he's just come out with, which is the third in the series, basically, okay? And it's the case, evidence and statistical receipts, volume 3 of the Navarro report I spent some time on today. I really wanted to dive into some of these numbers with you. It's the most... best use of time, I think, is to talk about real evidence than to sit here and blow smoke and rant all afternoon. I don't see what we accomplish with that. So let's be constructive and see how we can take this thing back. But let me share with you, and I got a lot to talk about right now, so let me stay in motion and you help me out here to get there. His conclusion, Navarro, he says, in light of the evidence, it is also irresponsible in the extreme for the Democrat Party and its leadership or journalists in the mainstream media or rhino Republicans. I love the way he puts that. It's so perfectly said. He's talking about an establishment, basically, there. to claim there is no evidence of election irregularities. That's absurd on its face, Navarro says. As this report shows, there is an abundance of evidence, a virtual cornucopia of potentially poisonous election irregularities. And he's got some really interesting points in here. And I want to talk to you, he's got a little piece in here about the censoring that's going on, which I think he really nails it. But he says here at the end here, based on the analysis and granular documented quantities of illegal votes in this report, the only thing that must happen now is, now follow me here, is we engage in a peaceful transition of power. So he's saying we're now past the point of no return. They were successful in that. So you're not going to stop the 20th. So follow me now. So you don't want to be, don't get arrested and put in jail and get up there and find yourself in trouble. Don't do that, people. There's a lot of people going to be arrested and spend possibly years in jail because these people up there are salviated. I mean, they're just salviating it, locking people up, which they never did for anything else that happened in the country. But I don't know. Maybe Trump will pardon them all before he leaves. I don't know. But there's something wrong with the whole thing. So I don't know. It just disturbs me. So he says, okay, the only thing that must happen now is we engage in a peaceful transition of power and then a full investigation of this matter with the Department of Justice should immediately appoint a special counsel before the Biden administration begins. And then state legislatures and attorney generals in the battleground state, particularly the GOP states as well, must launch similar investigations. So he suggests in all those swing states with the Republican state legislatures I was talking about a little while ago here, he's saying that they all need to do their own investigations as well. So what Navarro's talking about here, he's not talking about stealing anything. He's not talking about getting back at Biden. He's not talking about getting even. Because remember, Navarro's been a lifelong Democrat. He was for many, many years. He's not talking about any of that. Navarro's a patriot. He's a patriot, loves our country, like you, like I, like us, right? So he says, absent a full investigation, we as a nation run the risk of institutionalizing a rigged electoral system in which a large segment of America will no longer have faith in. Well, we're there, people. We are there. That's why clearing the air about the 2020 presidential election is not just about Donald J. Trump, but rather about something much larger and a far more important, the future of our election system, the public perception of that system, and ultimately the future of our free and democratic republic. And that's the way to put it, the democratic republic. We're a representative democratic republic. It's a good way to put it, actually, okay? So that's what he says. And the other thing he points out, and I want to talk to you next about, beside the Navarro, is the censoring that's happening. I honestly never thought that I would be alive and see what's happening now. I remember as a young lad reading the Orwell 1984, which, by the way, is one of the hottest books selling right now. It is selling like hotcakes all over the place around, I'm sure, the world, but certainly all over this country. It's like up at number one, number two in most book sales now. People want to reread that book again. They just want to see, because that's what we're living through right now. And in fact, we have a column I won't want to fail to tell you about, an article that is very well done. She's a really good writer, from Ilana Friedman, actually, on America Out Loud. Go read it. It's really darn good. And she says, George Orwell's America 2021. So check that out and get that out there. People should read this thing here. It's solid, as only Ilana can do with facts and thoughts and ideas there. So back to Navarro, he finishes up here about the censoring, and I don't want to miss this short little bitty he has here, okay? He says, in light of the evidence, this must also be said. Those American citizens who are now questioning the potential illegality of votes cast in the 2020 election should not be subjected by cable news networks, social media platforms, or the print media to the kind of abhorrent behaviors that we are now observing, social and political behaviors that are far more worthy of communist China. And we really are talking about totalitarianism here. And, it talks about, this is not about American democracy, from public shaming to deplatforming, doxing, and public calls to punish and shun all those who Have support of the president who worked in his administration. These types of behaviors are not the American way. Bravo, 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 Peter Navarro. Man, man, man. He put it all in there in that report, and I think it's solid. Now, a couple of things are bothering me here and annoying me I want to talk to you about, okay? And we'll pick up on the censoring in a moment here. But right now, the National Guardsmen, there are about 20-some-odd thousand in D.C., but they've got it locked down like there's no place on the planet. I mean, and it's a little edgy out there right now, you know, as this transition of power is happening. And we have to be careful and all have our cautious antennas up with our adversaries and our enemies. This is a time where one could do some unruly things. We're in the midst of all this chaos, and there's a lot of chaos in our country right now, unfortunately and sadly. And the president is, President Trump, I'm speaking about, he's done his darndest to protect America and Americans from these kinds of things. He's done an amazing job with his with foreign policy, and but he is now at a point of not in control anymore of the where things are happening. It's just a fast-moving train, and it's beyond his ability to slow it down or control things. And the powers to be are all starting to grab every bit of power they can from him. And I want to talk about that as well here, okay? But there's that piece of information there with the Guard and what's happening in our country. It's very disturbing what's taking place here. And there's a lot of unrestlessness. I've gotten a lot of people, I've a lot of conversations, reports. People are asking me if this is true, that's true, the other's true, within the 50 state capitals and with what's happening in our country and with President Trump and things like the Insurrection Act and all kinds of other things. We need to be diligent. We need to be careful. We need to be patriotic. And we need to protect our country. And I want to put that out there. Okay. I think we need to watch right now carefully what's taking place. We need to be respectful. We don't need to be, jumpy and do things that we will regret. Okay. So I'm being cautious now with you. I do think we're not stupid for sure. We know what's taking place. We know what's happened in the light of day, but we need to step back now and we need to be more calculating, okay? Just like the left is, and we need to now figure out, and we need to embrace, again, our moderates and independents and Democrat friends that we can, that have not gone full boat Marxist yet. And we need to embrace some of those people, because it's going to be a battle ahead. I'm talking about for the security of our nation. I'm not saying a physical battle. I don't know what that battle looks like. I've shared that with you many times. I just know we're headed somewhere. In the meantime, there's a full-on assault on President Trump, and they're doing everything they can to, kick him while he's down and wound him and bang him up really, really good. The ex-FBI director, James Comey, douchebag number one, I will say to you, okay? So he comes out, he's now saying he's worried about President Trump, because when you're a former president, you're absolutely entitled to get intelligence briefings for what's happening around the world in our country. I mean, you're on the in crowd there. Of course, you're entitled to all this. It's part of there's a lot of perks in being a former president, you see, because they know a lot and they never forget what they know. Comey, which is, again, he'd be the star poster child for douchebags in our country. He says, I'm hoping he will have, Biden he's talking about, okay? I'm hoping he, as in Biden, will have stripped off the perks of a former president by being convicted by the U.S. Senate and barred from further participation in public office. This is what Comey is dreaming. This is him in his bed having gingerbreads and lollipops bouncing his heads. This is Comey now, you know, woohoo. This is him. This is Mr. Guilty here. He says that we want to ensure Trump will no longer receive intelligence briefings after January 20th. And he needs the Senate to find him guilty of impeachment and all of that, for the whole Capitol thing they want to pin on him. And of course, Comey's the guy who violated all the policies in the FBI, gave the classified information to the press. They created the Mueller thing. Of course, Department of Justice did nothing. No prosecution, no nothing. Pass go. You can collect 200, as they've done with all of them, which is another thing that really has got me uncomfortable right now. John Durham, the indictments, all of that. Nothing's happened. No justice. Everybody's got a free pass. That's got to make everybody sick. I mean, this is where our country is right now. We're in a pretty sick place right now, I'm telling you. There's been no justice at all on any level. And right now, they're taking the right down and patriots down and Americans down and conservatives down and people who love this country. I mean, these are the real thing, these people we're talking about here. And they're being censored from everywhere. I mean, we're being censored and marked up here at our network here at America Out Loud, for sure. And I don't have time to get into it today, but we'll talk about another day, things that are happening here. There is a lot happening, my fellow Americans, and it's all over the place. And it's sad. I mean, Chuck Schumer now wants to put the anybody who is rioting and protesting up there at the Capitol on a no-fly list. He wants them on a no-fly list now. He's pushing for that. I mean, the clampdown that is coming is unbelievable. And Newsweek, their headline, with Trump defeated and Twitterless, his attacks on Biden finally cease, you know. And there's so much more I wanted to, we're running right out of time, I wanted to talk to you about, but there's a lot of other interesting pieces to this story here. I thought the best time constructively was to spend on Navarro. Did I tell you I'm a fan of his? But to spend on Navarro and the third report. But those real numbers, the data there that he was able to really gather and put under one umbrella, did a remarkable job in those three reports. And this one is now available for consumption. We'll make it available on America Out Loud. We'll get it out there for you so you can see it as well or search for it yourself and get it there. It's a PDF document and well worth the read for sure. So that's where we're at, my fellow Americans. And we've got a lot to do here. We've got a lot of work ahead. I got my sleeves rolled up right now, by the way. I always have them rolled up. I don't like when I got long sleeves on, I never leave them like to the, the ankle, the wrist. And, you know, I always roll them up. I always feel like I'm in that position about, you know, sleeves rolled up, ready to get into it, get into whatever it is we got to do. Roll up our sleeves. Okay, what's coming next, kids? Let's do it, right? And that what we got to be? Position in a good way, I hope. But we're ready for whatever is thrown at us. We're Americans. I mean, isn't that the key? We're ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready to defend everything we lived and died for and everything that we call the beacon of light, the beacon of hope, the beacon of liberty, the shining city on a hill, the beauty of America. My friends, I am wishing you a jump in your step. Stay positive. There'll be a path forward we will create together somehow. I assure you of that. My email address, liberty@americaoutloud.com. Thank you, as always, for being on the mission here. It's time to get involved and get loud.